Thanks for tuning in to WHYY. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, co-host of Studio 2, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. When I log on to social media these days, I see a lot of stuff that makes me frown or furrow. But there is one thing that consistently makes me smile. Videos of people talking about and eating from local restaurants.
For this one, I'm coming out of a deli in South Philadelphia.
In the Northeast has the most slept-on cheesesteaks, pizza, and
whiskey. This is about as close as you can come to putting a bowl of ramen into a sandwich, and it's delicious.
For the most part, these folks are not food writers or critics. They fit in that vague category we call influencer, and they've amassed tens of thousands of followers talking about the Philly restaurant scene. So how does this little cottage industry work? I asked Jacob Fink, who has a major online following under the handle Jacob Does Philly. He used to work a normal 9-to-5 as an environmental consultant in New York until 4 years ago when he moved to Philly for love.
My partner, she's born and raised in Philly, so I followed her here.
So how did you end up talking about reviewing food?
Yeah, I moved to Philly, and really the only people that I knew were in her world. I knew her friends, I knew her family, and I hadn't like made my own friends yet. I was like, I need a hobby. And the thing that we were doing anyway is like we were going out to dinner on Friday nights or going out to dinner on Saturday nights, checking out the great spots that Philly has to go out to dinner. And I just started making TikToks about them and talking about the pictures of the food that I had taken just for fun. And I'm going to share it with you because hopefully you like it too. And if I go to a spot and it sucks, I'm not going to make a video about it.
Okay, I want to ask you about that dynamic because you're upfront about this.
Yeah,
you
even
say like on your profile that you are a cheerleader, not a reviewer.
Yeah.
Why?
There's so many negative videos on the internet, and I don't feel the need to jump into that. And I also think that like so many review videos are really quantitative. Of like, I ate this sandwich, it was a 6 out of 10. Like, what does a 6 out of 10 mean, right? Like, I view cooking, especially like when it's done by like a chef that has devoted their entire professional career to like working in kitchens and being really good at what they do, like that is an art form in a way.
You would feel bad putting that person down.
But also it's like, I don't know, you go to an art gallery and it's like, that painting's a 6 out of 10. Like, what does that mean? So I'm gonna describe it the best that I can and say why I like it. And hopefully someone sees that and maybe my description resonates with them.
This incredible sandwich is a Cambodian lemongrass cheesesteak. Today I'm at Sabai Foods in West Philly. Chef Pador Yang started with a stall at the Southeast Asian Market in FDR Park. Instead of shaved ribeye, she uses cut chunks of steak that more resemble the grilled beef sticks you might find sold in Phnom Penh. The meat is marinated overnight.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
In
you kind of stumbled into this
almost
in a naive way. You're just like, want to post videos. You weren't trying to do this as a profession. It's not like you had like an edge or an angle here. But then you end up in this world of people courting influence and peddling influence. Do you have your own code of ethics around what you will and won't do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not like written down or anything.
I'm
but
sure,
it's more,
yeah.
Of just like, I don't know. I probably say no to 90 to 95% of the invites that I get.
Interesting.
So it's I don't know, that like 5 to 10% of invites that I accept are places that I would have wanted to go otherwise. If I enjoy the food, I'll post what I think makes sense. And also, if it's like an invite that is comped, I disclose that. I think that's
what if they're like, here's $1,000?
No, I don't take money from restaurants.
Oh, really?
Never. Yeah, yeah. No.
Yeah,
never
why
do.
Not? I mean, you're an independent business person here, not exactly a huge corporation. $1,000 or $500 would be helpful. Like, why not?
Because I think that I mean, that takes away the concept of it being like my thoughts about a spot. It no longer becomes where did I enjoy to eat, and it becomes more of
here's who paid me to eat.
Yeah, and who is best at reaching out.
Right.
Yeah.
Or has the money or the time or whatever.
Exactly. So I don't take money from restaurants. The bulk of my income, 80 to 90% comes from like brand deals. So I work with Visit Philly. I've worked with Hers Potato Chips. And at the top left corner of those videos, it says paid promotion. And that is you know, that's an advertisement that I'm making for them. I send them that video. They approve the video. I post that video. It says ad. It's very, like, clearly disclosed paid promotion at the top left corner.
How did you figure all of this out? Like, I just...
There's certainly, like, a learning curve to
it. Yeah, I just feel like at some point it must have been like, whoa, I'm like, I'm in this now.
Yeah.
I just started posting videos. I don't know at what popularity threshold you start getting requests and PR people.
Like, it starts pretty early.
It really does.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how many followers when you were getting hit up?
6,000-7,000.
Really?
Yeah.
That's how deep it goes.
That's a guess, but yeah. It starts pretty early.
Huh. Yeah. I'm curious, like, more generally, why you think people relate to your kind of content. Maybe not you specifically, but this whole kind of network of people like you who review food in the way that you review it, online content creators. Like, what's the appeal?
I think there are a few different types of appeal. There are, you know, a lot of different outlets that report on that and talk about that. There are Instagram pages like mine. There's the Philadelphia Inquirer. Part of it is just, like, where people gravitate towards. Yeah. I think also people gravitate towards, like, an individual sometimes of, like, I like their perspective. I like the way that Jacob describes food. And I try to be very descriptive.
Whereas, and no offense to the Inquirer, and we're friends with Craig LeBand, but, like, he is literally a faceless entity. There is no personality with, like, the traditional food critic. There's some personality through their writing, but their personality is, like, by design tamped down. And online, someone like you, your personality is, like, elevated and more tasting along with you.
Yeah, and I mean, Craig is the best in the game at what he does. But there's such a knowledge base that he has.
Yeah.
And that's why he is a critic. And he can go into a place and say, this is really good, this is not so good. Yeah. And you trust that because he has this, like, wealth of knowledge base. And
The appeal for you is different.
The appeal for me, I think, is more of, like, coming along with me to experience it as I experience, and I talk about my experience, and I talk about what I enjoy, but I also talk about my knowledge gaps, and I talk about...
I think you're much more of a surrogate for the average diner.
I think that's fair.
And there must be things you're doing to, I don't know, take advantage of or use the algorithm as a trampoline to get more views. Like, there must be fine-tuning you're doing. Like, I can't be as simple as, like, I put up some of my thoughts.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the first, like, 7 seconds are really important to any, like, short form piece of content, just because, like, I don't know, if they're not going to watch to second seven, they're not going to watch to 90 seconds or to 3 minutes or whatever.
So what do you do in the first 7 seconds to get people to care about what you, someone they don't know, is saying about food?
Some people might be annoyed by this, but, like, the first 7 seconds of my videos are definitely louder than the rest of the videos. Mm. I think that
the audio is up a little bit.
I'm not even doing that. I'm just, like, speaking louder.
Oh, interesting.
And then in the rest of the video, I'm speaking at, like, more of my normal speaking voice. And those first 7 seconds, I'm not yelling, but I'm, you know, between.
So if I'm scrolling through Instagram, that pops a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, well, I can't let you leave without getting a recommendation or two.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I mean, well, I live in South Philly.
Okay.
Lots of great options. Yeah. But, yeah, just give me an under-the-radar spot. That maybe a lot of other food content creators don't talk about or might have missed.
Ooh, it's not, I don't know, that's under the radar because people know for sure. But check out Spicy in Chinatown.
Yeah.
I went there maybe last month. It was incredible. The, like, house special noodle soup with the brisket in it is crazy. That was really good.
Now, on your videos, you would have delivered that much more energetic and loudly.
Yeah.
Such a subdued version of it.
That's something that I get a lot, actually, is, like, people are like, hey, you're a lot calmer in person.
I'm
like,
you seem kind of low energy.
To some extent, it's a performance, right? Yeah. Like, it's my most engaging and authentic way of delivering that information, I think. Yeah, but I think...
It's the highest energy version of yourself.
For sure. Yeah. No, in the real world, I think I'm a more subdued person.
Yeah. What's your goal with all this?
have fun, ride it as long as I can, and at some point I'll have to get a real job again. Yeah. No,
that's what you think will happen?
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. At some point people will stop watching the videos, and
that's such a remarkable perspective.
I'll still make them as long as I enjoy making them. At some point I'll have to get a real job again, but you know, hopefully I can ride it for 2-3 years and figure something out. Yeah.
All this from moving to a new city and being like, well, yeah, I guess I'm eating out a lot. Yeah. So
yeah. And you know, it's not just like the Philly food scene, but I've fallen in love with Philly just as like a city and a place. And now I've made my own friends and I've created my own community. And I love being here, and I plan on being here for a long time. So. I am sitting in the morning, the diner
on the corner. I am waiting at the counter for the... That was Jacob Fink. Online, he posts under the handle @JacobDoesPhilly. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and this has been a Studio 2 Extra. Studio 2 is produced by Hazel Mae Bryan, Debbie Builder, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered this podcast episode. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and thanks for joining me. It's always nice to see you, says the man behind the counter. To the woman who has come in, she is shaking her umbrella.